All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be chatting with an individual who has quite the high-stakes fight coming up, a rematch going at BKFC 26 on June the 24th. We have the welterweight title on the line, a champ-versus-champ clash with Luis Palomino and Elvin Brito, and very happy to be welcoming Luis onto the show. How's that day going so far, man?
Going great, man. It's going awesome. It's one of my favorite days of training. I have sparring, I have strength and conditioning, so anaerobic, to the point of death, so it's the funnest part of camp.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like you're a real science kind of minded guy with the game and everything like that. Like, it seems like the fight IQ is one of the bigger things you bring to the table, so it sounds like you're applying that to some of the preparations you just kind of outlined there.
100%, man. That's what comes with experience. You know, I'm at 41 years old, 16 years going on 17 years of, you know, in the fight game. You know, you pick up a couple of things and something clicks along the way and you finally start to apply it all together. And that's what's gotten me to this 6-0 undefeated, you know, going for a second title at this moment in my life.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of people already, like, ubiquitously kind of regard you as, like, that number one pound for pound in BKFC, but just in cementing yourself in history as, like, that, you know, two-weight champion in BKFC. I feel like that's going to really put you super far ahead if, like, there might be a chasm-sized gap between you and the next guy there if you get the ideal outcome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I mean by that. You know, I'm trying to just leave my legacy as hard to match. Thank you. As possible. As hard to match as possible. You know, and that's what we're aiming at. Right now, we're 100% focused on getting Brito and finishing Brito this time. You know, the first time around, he was in a tournament setting, and I wasn't going out for the kill. I was being ready in case, you know, for the second round, the third round, go to the title. But now, I have this title. He has the title that I want to take. So I'm definitely going in for a kill in this fight.
Yeah, and obviously, based on how you approach the game, I imagine the individual that fought Brito the first time is a fair bit different than what we're going to be getting in this rematch. But just in terms of what you've seen with him, like, not getting into, like, game plan specifics or anything like that, but have you seen a real, I guess, leveling up with Elvin Brito relative to the last fight you guys had heading into this sequel affair?
I've seen a difference. I mean, look, man, I've always said it. You know, there's always going to be a little talk back and forth, and one thing that I do in the talks, I'm very straightforward and very honest about it. You know? I'll call out on his things, but I'm also going to give him the respect that he deserves. The man lost against me and went undefeated until today. He became a champion. I was away for a week. He's gotten better. I said in a previous interview, when you train with certain people, you absorb certain things from certain people. And he's been training a lot with the Juggernaut. You know, and the Juggernaut, it's known for, like, being a train, very aggressive, straightforward. And that's a thing that I think Brito was lacking in his game. He was lacking a little bit of aggression, where I found him in a lot of boring fights. Even my fight kind of made it a little funny because he's so good, he neutralizes the game of the fight, you know, and he's not very aggressive. But in his last fight, when he picked up that title, he showed a different Brito. He showed an aggression. He showed a pressure. He showed a need for a finish, a need for, no, I gotta cement this win. Even though he didn't get a unanimous decision, because he had a very game opponent in the Lionheart, he did show an improvement, at least in aggression. I don't think that his skill-wise, he has fixed those holes that he has, but he did add something to his game. And on that, he did.
And you kind of touched on an individual there, I mean, Caleb Harris, and that sort of, like, goes into a question that I had, because, I mean, entertaining the ideal outcome happens, you would be champion in two different weight categories, so would the, I guess, and you're not overlooking your opponent by any means, but the next subsequent move, would that be more of, like, a lightweight return to fight, like, a Chad Mendez, or maybe defend the title at welterweight against, like, maybe Caleb Harris, or another, you know, rematch with Jim Allers, or something like that?
As far as at this stage in time in my life, I'm not very interested in rematches. Now, look, I'm a company man. If Jim Adams, for example, surfaces again and gets a 2-3-5 win streak, you know, he earns his way to a title shot again, I'm glad to give it to him because he earned it, you know. And if the company says, you know, you're fighting Jim Adams, hey, then that's who I'm fighting. You know, I get paid to fight who they tell me to fight. Now, if I can, you know, pick and choose, and I would say, you know, the biggest fight for the promotion, the biggest fight for me, for my pockets, which I think that I'm in a good position now, a very deserving position to get paid. It's a money fight, which I meant this. I would love to pick up this belt at 155, come back down to 155, defend it against Chad Mendes, and if possible, I'm going to ask the promotionist, I'm going to ask if we can make that fight happen in Peru. I know I can fill up a whole stadium over there, especially with a Chad Mendes name. I think it will be a great fight for your promotion. And like we said, I'm not looking past Brito. I have to take care of this first. But having picked up that belt, I would like to defend my belt back to 155. Once I defend that belt at 155 with the biggest name possible, after Chad Mendes, if they don't sign somebody else, who is there? There's nobody for me at 155 right now. Like, at least nobody that I'm going to make money with. And at this age, 16 years fighting in this game, I need to make some real money before I step out. So my thing is Chad Mendes, unless they find somebody else, like a huge name somewhere, Chad Mendes and higher, that can attract, you know, a good payday, then I won't even drop back down to 155. You know, I'll pass that torch to El Tornado, Tyler Goodchunk. You know, we signed Tornado, ETW, East to West Management Company, is our company. My manager and I, we put a management company together, and we signed him. We have him in a training camp right now. We flew him in. He's my training partner today. He's been pushing me. I've been pushing him. And we're reinventing him right now. So I'm very sure that he can hold on to that title, 155. So I want to put him in that position. But I would like to defend it against Chad Mendes, make my money, go back to 165, and whatever the company says, this is going to happen. If the company says so-and-so, it's him. If it says so-and-so, it's him, hey, it's what the company says, you know?
Yeah, and that segues perfectly into the thing I wanted to talk about, just the dynamic with Tyler Goodjohn, former opponents, now training partners. Can you speak to the kind of camaraderie that exists in the training room when you've had like that kind of throwdown with someone and now you guys are like honing skills as teammates? Because that's pretty sweet for me to see.
Yeah, the dude pissed me off, to be very honest, man. There was, like, some people ask, hey, man, is this stuff real? Yeah, it's real. I don't know this dude, man. This guy just jumps in my ring in my moments. You know, I hadn't fought in Miami years. You know, like, many years I haven't fought in Miami, and I'm, like, the biggest ticket seller here, you know? And, like, I have all my family, my friends, my fans, and it's my moment to come at Mike and, you know, give the thanks and thank my sponsors and all that, and this dude just jumps in the ring, you know, like, yeah, he takes the mic, like, oh, man, I was pissed. I really wanted to destroy this dude, you know? And that's what happened, you know, we got together. Look, he earned my respect when I found out the way that he came to this fight, you know, to, you know, we're talking about COVID times, talking about quarantine, he had to quarantine in DR for 15 days, no trainers, you know, he showed up to the fight with some trainers that didn't even, you know, you weren't wearing for what, days, weeks, a week or two, you know, and he came to challenge the undefeated champion, man, and he pushed the fight, like, if you look at the stats, it says that he landed 23 shots, I landed 173, bare knuckle fist to the face. This dude is slapping his chest, himself in his chest, saying, walking forward, let's go. And I'm like, man, you know, he made a fan out of me. He made a fan out of me, and I spoke to my man, you know, Ralph Navarro, Christopher Navarro, you know, the ETW team, and we said, man, we got to sign this guy, you know, and we started talking to him, and there's a different side of Tyler Goodjohn, you know, and I think there's a misunderstood Tyler Goodjohn, and then there's Tyler Goodjohn, you know, and that is a great thing because it's very marketable, too. So that was a great signing for us. We're very happy with him. You know, all the beef is over, and he's the most humble person I've ever met, man. The dude is like, look, man, you know, there's a saying that they say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Ain't that that old? I'm the old one here. But sometimes when you have a seasoned fighter that's been training with their own camp, their own trainers for so long, it's kind of hard to, like, break that shell and reinvent them or add things to that game. Like, they don't take it very well, and the ego will get in the way. This dude is like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. Oh, I understand. It's like, he's open-minded to learn. He's open-minded to improve himself. He's open-minded and to understand the holes that he had, you know, and that's what we're fixing right now. So I'm trying to find my boy right now, man. Okay, we good now.
Yeah, and I would think there'd be good momentum just in the sense of both of you guys having your individual fight dates. Like, he's locked in for that July 16th card in London. It seems like looking to climb his way back in the hierarchy there. So I imagine it's like a real iron sharpens iron, to use the cliche.
100%.
Yeah, I love to, you know, see the connectivity there and everything like that. But Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of other broader goals you've had, like, even outside of specific matchups and stuff like that, like with BKFC Peru seeming to hold, like, a level of prominence to you at some point. Do you see that happening in, like, the next, like, couple years even? Because it seems like the international expansion has been quite the level of focus for them, like with Thailand and different markets they've gone into.
Well, you know, we don't have too many years for me. I am 41, turning 42 in October. So, and I do, I'm no psychic, but I do believe that we take BKFC through this year. I believe so. I'm working on that. I'm pushing for that. I mean, I got a whole country behind me, you know? So why not? Why not go over there and collect the fans, you know? Collect the subscribers, you know what I mean? So I think it would be a great idea. So it's all a matter of planning when we're doing it and, you know, who are we using to attract the rest of the crowd, you know? But I see it happening this year. You know, I have faith.
Yeah, maybe you can, like, do, like, a face-off for, like, Media Day in front of the lines of Nazca or something like that. Get something going with that.
Sorry, you cut off.
Oh, I was just saying maybe you could get, like, a press photo, like, a face-off going in front of the lines of Nazca. I saw you had that Instagram photo in front of that.
Yeah, I have always been intrigued by that. Look, I was illegal on and off. I had work permits, of course, when I fought for BKFC, but it wasn't always... Before BKFC, like, I had a lot of on and offs with my legal situation in the States. I didn't have a residency for 31 years, so I hadn't seen my country in 31 years. You know, I did have permission to work. I did work legally, of course, but there were times that I didn't. I couldn't fight. There was years that I couldn't. So I couldn't even travel. I didn't see my father for 25 years. I didn't see my brother for 25 years. You know, and finally I get my residency. You know, I'm a permanent resident now, and I got to go and visit my family, you know, my dad, my brother, my cousins, aunts, uncles. And I said, now we have to go to Alaska. I was like, I'm very intrigued by, I don't know if you watch a lot of the Ancient Aliens documentaries.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen those.
With the stories, you know, and the science behind it. And it was cool, man. It was a blessing to be able to see this thing in my own country. I still have the Machu Picchu trip. So if we take BKFC to Peru, man, I'd love to take that Inca Trail trip with the BKFC crew. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I can't imagine how cathartic that would be to return after over 3 decades out of the picture. I imagine there's going to be some subsequent trips ramped up, made up for lost time now that situation you were mentioning seems to have been cleared.
Yes, 100%. I already have plans right after this fight, going back through, start promoting more about the possibility of BKFC coming over to Peru. And, you know, make myself even more known out there. Because, like I said, you know, I haven't been there so long that, you know, people do follow, but this is just the fight community. You know, I need the rest of the country now, you know, so I'm picking up on that. You know, we're working on that now.
Yeah, that's awesome, and glad to hear that for sure, man. But something I was noticing leading into the Knucklemania 2 fight that you had, it was saying you had one fight left on the current deal there, and you were kind of talking about how you're not going to be, you know, in this for, like, years and years necessarily, and also seems like you're looking at, like, gloved boxing as a, you know, potential option as well, something you would like to do before the career kind of ends there. So, like, what's the, I guess, dynamic with this deal left here? I would presume there's a couple BKFC fights, few BKFC fights, but is there also, like, some gloved boxing worked into that, or, like, what's the situation in that kind of context?
That's a great question, man. Look, boxing was my very, very first love. I started out boxing at the age of 10. I only boxed at 13 years old. At 13, my father goes to prison, gets deported. All hell breaks loose, we had to leave California, we come back, we go to Miami, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I ended up doing capoeira, Brazilian martial arts, MMA, blah. And boxing has always been my first love. I would love to do a few glove boxing fights, if possible. I mean, you know, I don't know how much my body can, you know, how long my body will stand with me. But I have no complaints right now as far as boxing or bare knuckle boxing. But I would say that if I was to do anything to do with boxing, it would only be with the blessing of Dave Feldman and BKFC. Only if they were to be a part like they were when they took a guy to Triller, where they had one of the guys from BKFC fight over that they were a part of it. Only if it's something like that where, you know, I'm a very loyal person. You know, I'm loyal to the company, I'm loyal to my trainers, to my people. And I want to keep that good relationship. I want to keep working with BKFC even after I retire. So if I was to make that move, I would love to make that move because that was my first dream, was to be a boxer, you know, with gloves. I would love to do a fight with a big name, you know, whatever I can do, but with the blessing of Dave Feldman and BKFC behind me. That, I would, if that was to be possible, man, that would be a dream come true. Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, you mentioned, like, the Triller kind of crossover example. I'm pretty sure, like, Hector Lombard is still under BKFC contract, and they let him fight in Eagle FC. So, yeah, I mean, it, there seems to be certain options for that, so hopefully that pans out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also mentioned Capoeira in there and how that was, like, a base kind of thing for you for many years. And I saw a video a little bit ago where you were saying it had been about 8 years since you trained any of those moves. It seemed like you still had the moves going, though. Like, how did that feel getting out there?
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. You know, it's like riding a bike. You don't forget. You just get tired faster, and maybe you get a little more aches from certain moments. But I did it for 13 years straight, man, and I learned how to speak fluent Portuguese thanks to Capoeira. You know, so like I can speak to anybody from any part of Brazil, and I never went to school for it, you know? So a lot of the explosiveness, the agility that I have, or most of it, comes from the years of Capoeira. You know, so big thanks to Mestre Cesar, Mestre Dele, you know, who I started with in my Capoeira days. You know, I know my boys from Capoeira, but it was a very big part of my life. It actually saved my life. To be very honest with you, when I first came to Miami from California, that gang activity in Miami was ridiculous. And if it wasn't for Capoeira, man, who knows, man? Who knows where I'd be right now? So I have a lot of friends that ended up dying. I have a lot of friends that are still in prison. Or they just came out of prison, you know. So like, who knows where I'd be if it was, if it wouldn't have been for Capoeira, you know?
Yeah, it seems like martial arts gave you a great outlet, and like you outlined even some of the aspects of what sounded like a tumultuous kind of childhood there. So it seems like martial arts was and continues to be like a, you know, great outlet for you in a lot of regards.
1,000%, man. 1,000%. I think it's something that should be not forced but introduced to all youngsters that are not, look, if your kid is not into baseball, it's not into football, it's not into basketball, maybe he'll be into a combat sport, maybe karate, maybe kickboxing, maybe boxing, maybe capoeira, you know, you never know, but you got to put them into something, something that is a part of a community, you know, keep them busy, keep them entertained, keep them, you know, training their body, you know, getting to know, you know, who they are, you know, physically, and that, you know, will keep them away from trouble. I mean, it did it for me. I'm living proof.
Yeah, and I think it gives like a certain like discipline-minded understanding of the world and stuff like that. And I mean, a lot of situations where you've kind of showcased that, like, I mean, like the severity of the COVID illness that you had and just coming from that and putting on the performances that you did. I mean, I would think that would be rooted in that like base level discipline, mental / spiritual resolve you would learn at those kind of points in your formative years.
1,000%. Oh, yes. You know, it becomes a part of your life, you know, it's a lifestyle. Look, eating healthy, training, it's a lifestyle. It's not something they just do for a couple of months, but it's a lifestyle. You learn how to live like that, you have a longer life and a more quality of life, man, you know?
Yeah, no, man, that's what it's all about for sure. And yeah, it's been really great getting to talk to you today. I appreciate the time, but one thing I wanted to kind of touch on there as we're kind of wrapping up. I noticed that the geishas weren't allowed in the last walkout, and you didn't really know the reason for that. Are we going to be getting those this time, or?
This time I have a surprise. I'm aiming more at my Peru, my country. You know, look, I always write, you know, I'm Peruvian American. You know, I think in English. I'm very grateful and thankful for this country and the life that it's provided my, you know, my family and I. And I've never forgotten about my roots. I've always represented my roots, you know, but I am Peruvian American and I've always represented both. But at this, in this moment, now that I'm back to my country and I want to fight over there, I'm trying to attract more of my people. So I have a little gift for them, you know, so I want to do more of my roots, you know, and expose more of that. The samurai thing, before I even met my wife, I just got married in my last fight, actually, the week of my last fight. But we've been together for 4 years, and she's Japanese, right? She's, her whole entire family's Japanese. She hates when I say full breed Japanese, but, you know, because I breed dogs with her. I'm not a dog. But she's full breed Japanese. And before I even met her, way, like years, if you look at my Instagram, it says Samurai Spirit. I've always loved that samurai culture, that Japanese culture, the way that they eat, the way that they take care of themselves, the martial art, you know, the respect, the honor, You know, I've always loved the Pride shows. I loved Pride more than UFC back in the days. You know, I've always loved that honor, the respect, that martial art side of it, you know, of things. And when I got together with her, it was just easier to, like, be able to express my walkouts, how I feel, you know, the samurai thing, the engagement with her ideas. She's like, I'm going to get you some engagement. I'm like, okay, great, let's do it. You know, and in this last show, first I did the engagement by themselves, then I did the drummers, right, the Japanese drummers, and then I wanted to put it all together, but it wasn't the case. It was the Hard Rock. The Hard Rock, he was a little headache with bringing in my, you know, my entourage, and it didn't happen. I spent $1,500 for my walkout, man, and I couldn't show you guys what I had planned for you guys. I believe that the walkout of a fighter should be a show of its own. It should be allowed because it's, you know, it's what the fans are paying for. The fans are paying for a good fight, for blood, for a knockout, for a second fight, but it doesn't hurt to give them a show leading to that, you know, leading up to that. And that's what I've been trying to, you know, expose more, trying to, you know, show the organization that we can do more. You know, I mean, that's just my two cents, you know. This time I'm going to do a little more indigenous, more Peruvian side for this fight.
Yeah, good shout out to Pride, too. I mean, I had a similar kind of connection to it when I was a younger lad there. Like, I think it was like the day before my 13th birthday, like Crow Cop and Fedor were fighting each other. And just, yeah, so electric. Such a great show. So great shout out there for sure, man. But you've been great with your time, and it's been awesome getting to pick your brain a little bit, man. But I do want to be mindful of your time and everything. So is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up, Luis?
Thanks. Always, you know, attitude of gratitude, man. I gotta thank my people, you know, Cigarette Racing, NY, Florida Justice International, Mr. Rob Navarro, ETW, East to West Management is here now, Divina Felice, all my sponsors, they know their names, they know who they are. I just have to mention them because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to focus 100% in this camp. You know, we are, you know, I am a 41-year-old man with 41-year-old responsibilities, you know, we got bills to pay, and, you know, being able to be sponsored by this great people, these companies, it allows me to be able to just focus on myself, not only the training, but the recovery aspect and everything that comes with it. So big thanks for all my sponsors. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was great getting to talk to you, and focus certainly paramount, especially in a big rematch when we got two champs going at it. And people can check that out June 24th when Elvin Brito and Luis Palomino knuckle up and toe the line at BKFC 26. And yeah, again, to reiterate, thanks for coming on, man, and just you enjoy the rest of your day too, man.
You got it, brother. Have a good one. Thank you.